Last Sunday morning, we examined the many times that Jesus had announced ahead of time his upcoming death, burial, and resurrection, telling his disciples over and over again what was going to happen. We also examined that in spite of the many miracles that were performed at his hand, proving that he was indeed God, in spite of the truths that he taught the people and how many times they were amazed at the miracles, at his words, at his teaching, the fact is the Jewish leadership continued to say, well, give us a sign. Show us a sign. Prove to us that you're the Messiah. And in spite of all that evidence, they still rejected him. This morning, as we go to this passage that is before us, Jesus had told them that there would be no greater sign than the sign of the prophet Jonah, who would be in the belly of the fish for 3 days and then raised again on the third day so that it would be with the Son of Man. So as we look at this passage in John chapter 11, we see a message about resurrection. And we see the power of Christ over death. And we recognize that this all happened within about 10 days of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So all of the events tie very, very closely together. And so as we look this morning, I pray that you can follow along in your outline and we just walk through this passage. There are so many things that could be taught, but I've chosen these items to be able to share with you and to focus our attention toward the very theme of being raised for the glory of God. Number one that I want us to identify is that Lazarus is dead. You say, well, duh. That's what this chapter is about. But let me share something with you. Unfortunately, there are people who deny the miracles of Christ. There are people that deny the resurrection. There are people that would try to convince you that indeed Lazarus wasn't really dead. Well, I want to show you by the verses that are listed there before us that yes, he was dead, and there's ample evidence. For example, in verse 14, Jesus said unto his disciples, plainly, he is dead. Now, the point that I want to connect with that is this. Jesus had received a message from Mary and Martha that the one that Jesus loved, Lazarus, was sick. Jesus had been removed across the river Jordan, and he was there for a specific purpose, and that was there was an ongoing attempt to get him and kill him, and this would have been in violation of the perfect timetable God had for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because he must die as the Passover lamb on Passover Sunday. So he was across the river, and the message was brought to him that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus, as he was over there, remained even after he heard the message that Lazarus was sick. And so in verse 13, Jesus had spoken and said in verse 12, that verse 11, excuse me, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. And the disciples said in verse 12, if he's asleep, then he will do well. Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of them taking rest in sleep. So then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave. How long? 4 days. Now I want you to hear something. Some of you already have heard me share this before. But according to Jewish tradition, there was a thought process the Jews had that when a person died, that spirit of the man that died would hover around the body for 3 days. And then after the third day, then the spirit would depart. There are two miracles that are identified as Christ raising the dead. I'll give you the reference. I'm not going to turn there. But the first one is in Matthew 9, verses 18 and 19, verses 23 through 35. And there it speaks of the raising of Jairus' daughter. The second instance is in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, where Christ raised the widow of Nain's son. In both of those situations, however, they were dead, and the Jewish practice, and it is so to this day, among Muslims it is also true, that the day that you die is the day that you're buried. There's no embalming that goes on. The day that you die is the day that you're buried. So in these first two instances, it would have been on the same day that those two, the Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, died. It was on the same day that Jesus spoke and literally raised them from the dead. But you can see how that some Jewish thinkers would say, well, yeah, but it was within the 3 days, and so they were revived but not raised from the dead. You understand what I'm saying? So this passage is significant in that Jesus purposely stayed 2 more days on the other side, and by the time he got back, Lazarus had been in the grave how long? 4 days. So it's beyond the 3 days. So this would eliminate anybody saying, well, yeah, the spirit hadn't really departed yet. By the way, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I am praising God today that because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, if I drop dead right now, my spirit goes to heaven right now. You can do with the body what you will. Okay? But my spirit will go to God. All right? Look with me to verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, this is Martha, thy brother shall rise again. He's dead, but he shall rise again. All right? Look with me next to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not, what? Died. Had not died. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have, what? Died. So who, according to what we've read thus far, believed that he was dead? Both sisters, okay? The Jews that were there who had come out of Jerusalem, Bethany's about 2 miles out of Jerusalem, so some Jewish people had come out. They, one of the, again, patterns or traditions is that a family, if they did not have someone, was required to hire someone to come to mourn in such a case. This was a process of how to be comforters, so to speak, for the family that had lost someone. So there were people who had come out there, and they were there to, as it were, be an encouragement to them. All right, let's look next, if we might, to verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he what? He stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Okay? He's been dead for 4 days. Now, I'm not wanting to gross anybody out. I just want to point out a reality here. Okay? With physical death, this physical body that we have is going through a natural process. No matter where you are on the planet, when a body dies, there are specific things that begin to happen, and those specific things are somewhat on a timetable. And if you go and look it up on the Google it on the internet, and you can find out what happens to a body and the progression that happens, and it even will tell you how those who are coroners and those who are investigating the death will use these specific elements to examine how long it is that it will be before since a person had died. They'll check the body temperature. They'll look at other signs on the body, all of which will say it. Well, and by the end of 4 days, what does the scripture say will be also an evidence that's there? If the body's not embalmed, it will begin decomposition. Now, you say, Pastor, we could have gone all day without that. Now, listen to me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the what? Life. If you believe on me, you shall never die. This is about resurrection, and it is about the reality of what Christ proclaimed to these sisters, but also to all of us and to those around by what is seen. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. All right, as we recognize these many passages identifying for sure that he was dead, then I want to reconfirm to you the reality that Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead. In doing so, he manifested that he was in fact God, because no man could do what he did. And there were going to be specific results that came from this miracle, as well as a confirmation of the declaration that he makes in verse 25 and 26. This event ultimately was for the glory of God. Go back with me to verse 4. Jesus has received the message from the sisters telling him that the one that he loved was sick. Verse 4, Jesus says to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, some skeptic would say, well, that says this is not unto death. Well, here's what I want you to understand. Did Jesus know what was going to happen in this situation? He's God. He's God. He knew that the end result was going to be that, in fact, Lazarus would die, but he would not stay dead, because he was going to raise him from the dead. And he was going to raise him from the dead for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of God. So that people, as witnesses, and we as we read, could have our eyes open to the awesomeness that Jesus came for the purpose of overcoming the power of sin and death. And that by faith in him, we can have eternal life. All right? Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, she has just said, he's been dead for 4 days and he stinks. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Don't you realize, he's saying, that this is about the glory of God? And friends, listen to me and hear me very, very clearly. One of the things that we need to recognize, and we've talked about this in a number of ways in recent weeks, but one of the things we need to realize is that this earthly domain is indeed under a curse. Amen? And as in Adam, all died, so those who are in Christ, born again by faith in Christ, they shall all live. The testimony that comes from Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the message of eternal life to all who will believe in him. Christ makes a declaration that this that happened to Lazarus was for the glory of God. We're going to see how that's going to be very much exemplified as we go to the next point in our outline. God would be glorified when people believed so that they could be saved. Look at verse 15. He has just declared, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Both sisters and the crowd said the same basic thing. If he had been here, what? Lazarus wouldn't have died. Okay? If you'd just been here, Lazarus wouldn't die. Not an accusing thing, but in a sense of a faith statement. If you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. And the crowd said, couldn't the one that was able to heal and to minister that way, couldn't he have ministered in such a way that Lazarus wouldn't have died? Well, go on with me in verse 15. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent that what? Ye may believe. Who are the ye here? It's just the disciples that are around him. That ye might believe. Now, listen to me. Try to get it together. We're moving in the direction of celebrating the resurrection of Christ at Easter. These disciples at this point in time, they don't know all that, okay? They're not aware of what's going to happen. Jesus has told them he's going to go down to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be, you know, arrested and mocked and whipped and killed and buried, and he would rise again the third day. But they're not getting it. And he is saying here to them, this situation, I'm glad I wasn't here. Why? So that you might believe. Believe what? That I am God, that I have the power over death, that I am going to bring about resurrection, that I can give victory in Jesus, as we sang just moments ago. Look at verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 27, she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She had opportunity, though I don't think she fully understood all the implications until after the resurrection of Lazarus and after the resurrection of Christ. She is indeed making a statement of faith here. The next passage I want us to look at is in verse 42. And he says, I knew that thou hearest me always. He's praying to his father just prior to Lazarus coming forth from the grave. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. Why? That they may, what? Believe that thou hast sent me. They may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Was it good that Lazarus died, that God might be glorified, that through his resurrection many might believe? Go with me to verse 48. This is now a unraveling of the Jewish council, the Pharisees. They are very frustrated because now, with many turning to Christ and believing upon him because of this miracle of resurrection, verse 48 says, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And their plot is that they are wanting to kill him because this is getting too terribly uncomfortable for them. Look with me in John chapter 12 now, verse 9 through 11. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he, Jesus, was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. How'd you like to be raised from the dead so they could kill you? Why did they want to kill him? Verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. His sickness was ultimately for the glory of God, that people might believe. Now, go with me to chapter 12, verse 42. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, meaning publicly, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Look at verse 43, a very sad commentary. For they loved what? The praise of men more than the praise of God. How sad. How sad. Salvation comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, was buried, and rose again on the third day. When Christ declared in verse 25 and 26 of John 11 that he was the resurrection and the life, that statement that he is making here, friends, either had to be true or he was insane. If he was insane, claiming to be the resurrection and the life, then he's to be despised. But if he is the resurrection and the life, and the raising of Lazarus demonstrates that he is to be worshipped. Amen? And furthermore, in his own resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, we have great reason and cause to worship him. Now, as we think about this, I want us to look at some passages, starting with Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. Paul is writing by the Spirit of God. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him,
but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Paul is teaching here, pointing to the example of Abraham, who believed God, that God would give him a son and heir, and through him make of him a great nation. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him as righteousness. Paul is saying, so for us who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God's righteousness in Christ is imputed unto us. So the importance of belief in the resurrection is huge. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to pause here for just a second and inject something. How many of you understand that Muslims say that they believe in Jesus? How many know that Muslims say they believe in Jesus? But they do not believe in this Jesus. Okay? They say that Jesus was a prophet. They say that Jesus did not die on the cross, that Judas Iscariot was substituted, and it was Judas that died on the cross. And therefore, as they reject the Jesus that we're talking about, listen to me, they're not saved. They cannot be saved. Their God is not our God. They believe when Muhammad comes back, Jesus will come as a servant to Muhammad. They believe that when Jesus comes back, it's written in the Quran, that when Jesus comes back with Muhammad, it is Jesus that will say, look, over here, hiding behind the tree, is an infidel, a Jew, or a Christian. Here, come kill him. How many are glad our Jesus is not their Jesus? As we recognize that, then these passages are of great, great importance. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what we call the gospel in a nutshell in verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which, that gospel, you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? To be saved, we must believe in Jesus as the sinless Son of God who lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, was buried in a borrowed grave, raised again on the third day, just like he said, and in his resurrection is our redemption, our justification, our salvation. And if I can say it one more way, our resurrection. Amen? That's the promise that is ours. Go with me to another passage. It's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, meaning your manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and hope might be in God. Friends, we have a risen Savior. And that risen Savior is our access unto salvation. Number 5 on your outline, the conviction by the Holy Spirit of our sin and damnation opens the door for our repentance unto salvation. As we look to God's Word in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus promised, John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And when he would come, he would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin because of the reality that we are all sinners. Of righteousness because God is holy and perfect. And of judgment because since we are sinners and God is holy, then we deserve hell. And we deserve hell. But instead, as we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, then there is opportunity for us to respond in faith. Look with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, has preached a powerful message. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward or wicked generation. The message that is preached is repent. Chapter 3 of Acts, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 17. Christ is being lifted up by Paul on Mars Hill, and he has spoken of the very nature of God before them. And in Acts chapter 17, and verse 30, we read these words. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Friends, who is it that's going to judge a Christ-rejecting world? It's the very Christ who was raised from the dead. That gives evidence and proof of his authority and power to make that judgment. Go with me to chapter 26 of Acts. Paul is before King Agrippa. And as he's before King Agrippa, he's sharing his testimony of how he came to be a believer. And here's what we read. That the call that was given to him was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, there in Syria, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles in Asia Minor, that they should what? Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Salvation by grace through faith comes in response to having heard the gospel, being convicted by the Spirit of sin and righteousness and judgment, and turning from your sin and crying out for God's mercy and believing on a resurrected Lord who's able to give you eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the good news that God has given to us. And lastly, God will be glorified when all born-again believers are raised at the resurrection. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm not in Revelation. I'm in Romans. Excuse me. Let's go back one more time. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, Christ died, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Friends, listen to me. For eternity, we will be worshiping a resurrected Lord. For eternity, we will have the privilege of knowing the victory that came through his death, burial, and resurrection. I wrote something down here, and I want to just share it so that I won't misrepresent how I wanted to say it. Literally, heaven will be about the glory of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the power of the resurrection. No one will be there who has not believed in the pure gospel, which includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. No one will be there who has not been resurrected from the dead because of their faith in a resurrected Savior. Everyone that will be there in a glorified, literally a resurrected body, and will join in the anthem praising God for salvation through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. The question is, will you be there? Will you be there? Friends, we're coming up on Easter. And Easter is not about Easter bunnies. Okay? Easter is about victory. Easter is about resurrection. I want to challenge each of us that from now on, and I may slip by my own challenge as well, but I want to challenge you, instead of saying we're going to have a Easter family get-together, I want to challenge you to say we're going to have a resurrection family get-together. Don't say we're going to have a Easter service at church. Say we're going to have a resurrection service on Resurrection Day. Because listen to me, that's what it's about. Do you realize that if Jesus were still in the grave, we would have no hope whatsoever? There would be no gospel, no good news, because the good news contains his resurrection. He was dead, he was buried, but he rose again the third day. Resurrection is the victory that we celebrate. And because he lives, as believers, we will live also. Let's pray. Father, the miracle of the raising of Lazarus was indeed awesome. And your word says that many believed when they witnessed that amazing, miraculous event. But Lazarus was to die later. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and was buried, was raised miraculously on the third day, and he ever lives. Ever lives. It's your right hand to make intercession for us. And he's coming back, your word says. And when he comes back, he will come back to judge those who've rejected his resurrection. And Lord, they will eternally be separated from life and will suffer death in hell because they would not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for the good news of the resurrection. May we be very bold and very forceful, Lord, in sharing our faith in a resurrected Lord. Not just in these next few days, the Lord, at all times. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnals.